And welcome in to Fanboys Assemble, the wrestling edition. Yes, we're going to be talking some old school wrestling in this edition. Tyler Cup here with you on Teacup Radio. Eddie Miles, how are you, sir?
Hey-o. What's going on, man?
It's been a while, and as you say, I haven't been paying much attention to you. I believe
you had to bully this motherfucker in the studio, dude.
Your exact words were... Your exact words to me 2 weeks ago were, "You've been rambling too much with Rhino."
So, no, those I've given those a listen, and that's good stuff, man.
Like, but you're not a sports fan. Do you really like them? Don't lie.
I've listened to them for the dynamic. I've listened to them because I'm trying to support your product there, dude.
Well, thank you. I know you're not a sports fan, so that's a little different for you. We just did one. Yeah. We did our weekly one this week, and he gets into a political rant that you have to hear. Trump versus Clinton.
I haven't listened
Clinton.
To that one yet.
Oh, it comes out tomorrow. It's good. Oh, it's good.
Okay, so then I'm not behind. I just hadn't heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I enjoy sports just as much as like an average guy can enjoy them, but I don't follow them like some people follow them. Like, whereas you know, like, who's what the big shit going on in baseball is when it's baseball season. All I know is that someone's going to throw a ball and swing a fucking stick at it. I don't enjoy watching baseball on TV. I would like to sit in the stands and watch a game. It's like, I'm that kind of fan. You know what I mean? And I would say I keep up more with actual, like, I like MMA. So I keep up with that. Loosely, I'm a little rough on what's going on right now, other than the Conor McGregor stuff. But
did we talk about CM Punk? What was your thoughts on that? Did we talk about that? CM Punk getting into the octagon.
You and I haven't talked about that, and let's very much make that a part of this here, because it belongs here. I mean,
it does.
Also, you know, it's I'm happy to, you know, be doing this with you again. You keep doing the thing, rambling with Rhino, man, and we do need to do some more Fanboys Assemble, but I agree with you. We got to get everybody listening again.
Yes. So, and
you guys got to give us some help out there. We need you on the other end.
I can't wait for our most popular podcast we do together, and that is the movie reviews, and we've got a big one coming up, Doctor Strange, November 4th, I think it is.
Yeah. It's been kind of stale on the movie front lately. So, to be honest with you, with the listeners we do have right now, it's almost expected that we would have had a break like that. And I know it's given us some time to do some things that we need to do outside of our inner nerdgasms. But like I said, man, we're here, and let's do it. Let's get into it, man. Let's sink in. Doctor Strange. Let's talk about Doctor Strange. If you're a Benedict Cumberbatch fan and not a comic book fan, you should still come and see this movie. Give Marvel some of your hard-earned dollars. A visual spectacle to behold. I'm calling it right now. It looks like, take whatever your favorite mystic movie is, and if it, like, butt-fucked Inception, that's what you're going to get.
Well, that's, right out the gate. That's why I love
that's
you.
That's my prediction, man. That's why what I'm feeling you. Like. The more snippets I see of this, and you mentioned to me the other day that you feel like there hasn't been much build up or much press for this.
Yeah,
I think you've been so busy that you've missed like commercial breaks and things like that, and you probably haven't been paying much attention to TV because you're a hardworking man, dude.
I'm back in the DVR scene, like getting back in my place, and I have cable and DVR. Like, I'm now fast forwarding through commercials, so I'm probably missing a lot.
If you don't know Tyler Cup like I know Tyler Cup is one of the hardest working guys in radio.
My dog.
You know, people give what's that fucking guy's name, man? He's so unimportant to me as opposed to the rest of the world. Ryan
Seacrest?
Yes.
Compare me to that guy.
But what I'm saying, I'm not going to compare you to him, but I will compare the work ethic.
Okay, I like that.
When does that fucking dude sleep?
Are you putting me over?
I feel like he gets his suits cut while he's taking a shit, because that's the only free time he has. And that guy's suits fit like a glove, man. I'll give him that. That dude is a hardworking cat. He looks good and he dresses good. But past that, I can't say that I'm like, I can't wait to see Ryan Seacrest on TV. You know what I mean? So,
no one's ever said that. Thank God. Doctor Strange visually looks like almost something that Marvel's never done before. Kind of like what Guardians of the Galaxy was, where it was just so different. This is very similar.
This is such a
alternate realities, more, all types of different stuff.
Yeah, this is a much more profound risk than Guardians of the Galaxy was, because you can go back and flip any kind of movie genre, anything that was kind of related to, you know, mystic and magic. You know, that's always been kind of a thing for a core group of people. I mean, any kind of thing like that, there's a fandom for that, even if it's not set to like a Marvel or to like some series of books. Like, people that are into that kind of thing, that strikes up their, you know, their the things that they like. I mean, they're going to go and check that out, even if it's just a little bit. But then when you take things like, look at a movie like Inception and what it did and how awesome that was. And that's some of the visualistic kind of things we're going to get, that alt reality that it's almost like there is no spoon, you know?
Yeah.
and that's going to be exciting, I think, man. So you just take a lot of different styles of wonderment that directors and writers have created in different mediums. I feel like you're going to get a really, really like plentiful cornucopia of different, you know, artistic techniques in here, whether it be visual, you know, writing, just the costuming, the characterize, all that kind of stuff's going to be crazy. It's just going to be so different.
I think we agree on this. Marvel has yet to fail. I mean, you know, they have a few that people didn't love as much as others, like Iron Man 2 and maybe a few others. But for the most part, they have not failed. And this one certainly looks like it's going to be right up there with another spectacle in Doctor Strange. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, a couple years ago, I would say the area we are in is dangerous for risk, but now it's almost, you can almost say that we're trickling into safe territory where we can almost put anything up there with the Marvel label and it's going to make a bunch of fucking dollars.
Yeah.
And it could be shit. Like, the first time they decide to throw out a shit film, like, people are going to show up and they're going to spend money on that, and they're going to be like, what the fuck just happened?
They're not supposed to suck.
But I really don't see that happening, though, man. It's too large of a team over at Marvel, and with deals that they have with Sony now, it's just making things even larger. So there's even more fresh minds, and those people are apparently not opposed to talking to each other. It's going to be amazing what we could see moving forward into the future. You know, this comic book movie thing is not going
to
die.
Just a few nerd comic book movie things, related things before we get on to wrestling. I've been watching Gotham. It's been just as good. They revealed the Mad Hatter. Listen, I'm in. Anything Gotham does, I'm in. The first season was garbage, but the second season, it was. The first season was the villain of the week, and it was awful. Second season totally locked me in, and now with this season, I love it. It's to me, I nerd out every single show because they keep revealing something new. It's like, oh, that's the Mad Hatter. Oh, that's Clayface. Oh, that's the Court of Owls.
Haven't seen the third episode yet. I'm only one behind, but I mean, I agree with you. Like, since they got out of the first season, it's not just an every season thing. It's each week it gets more and more interesting and deeper and more diverse and cloudy. And like, you almost don't know what to expect, because in this rendition of Gotham, this, call it whatever Earth you want to call it, you know, whatever part of the multiverse this takes place in, this version of Gotham, it's just so unhinged, man. Like, even the most sound-minded people are pushed to the brink of, like, fuckery. Like, oh, my God. Like, yesterday I wouldn't kill someone, but today I almost skinned someone alive. That's what we're looking at in Gotham.
And I don't know if the writers look at it this way, but this is kind of a nerd moment here. I really think the show that I'm watching, it's not a world that needs Batman yet, but it's getting there. It's getting close where you need a Batman.
If there's something that they are doing a beautiful job of, is they are showing the fucking great and utter decline of Gotham from just a shithole down to the nasty abyss that it is when there is a Batman. You know, and the thing is, the reason that Gotham is such a centrifugal character, almost more flooring than the Joker, in a sense that it's never going to be defeated. There's never going to be a day where sun up to sundown, shit was okay in Gotham. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Which just further reinforces the notion that there will always be a need for a Batman.
He's a poet. Eddie Miles, he is a poet. I absolutely love the man. All right, I want to get into, because I don't watch Flash. I don't watch The Arrow. I know
that shit is hot.
I know it's awesome.
And it is on his shit. Last season, it was a little choppy, a little rocky. People were like, what are we doing? There's too much powers going on Arrow. Dude, this season's only been a couple. Like, I've only seen one fucking episode of Arrow so far. And it's firing on all cylinders already.
Yeah.
And The Flash, don't even get me started on The Flash, dude. Like, I'll slap my nerd against the wall, dude, and it won't move. It is insane right
now.
You
could do a whole hour on The Flash. I've got to get started on Luke Cage. That is probably what I'm going to get started on this weekend as soon as I
find time away from football. Fucking Netflix, dude. That's how good Luke – I haven't even watched it yet, but – you want to know how good Luke Cage is? Luke Cage is so good, that shit hit online and broke fucking Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix was shut down. Like, not just that one fucking program wouldn't play. You couldn't watch Netflix as a fucking whole because of the people that crashed the fucking thing just to watch Luke Cage.
You were on
fire.
And then
there are people that will listen to this podcast, and they're like, who the fuck is Luke Cage?
They're going to find out on Netflix. They're going to find out on Netflix because it's getting great reviews. Yeah. Great reviews. Okay, let's get into wrestling. And this is a podcast that has been a long time coming, a conversation that's been a long time coming when we have hit the record button, because me and Eddie have gone back and forth. Eddie knows that I am a hardcore pro wrestling fan, and he sees me hang out with friends, watch wrestling. He sees me tweet and post about it, and I feel like Eddie almost kind of feels left out at times. Like, hey, dude, I used to watch wrestling. I watch that stuff. I can get into it. I can talk with you too. And Eddie, every now and again,
I am a back in the day wrestling fan, man. And it's almost like rap. I don't like it now, but I used to.
This man blows my mind with the passion he has. And he called me randomly over the weekend and just absolutely blew my mind with a conversation about pro wrestling. And gosh almighty. First off, what was the first memory you have watching pro wrestling?
The first memory I have watching pro wrestling, my love for pro wrestling comes from just things I used to do with my grandmother when I was just a baby, man. Like, when I was a kid, my mom was a cop. My dad painted, so he was always working. So it was always me and grandma. And so everything that I loved and fed off of was centered around the things I did with her. And one of the things we did was we used to watch wrestling without fail. And my earliest memory is I was such a Ric Flair fan to begin with. Like, he was the first wrestler that I ever was like, yes, look at this guy. You know, because I, like I said, comic book fan, I loved heroes, and wrestling was like a real life embodiment of like superheroes like come to life. And so Ric Flair was the shit. And I remember he turned heel. I couldn't tell you who he was wrestling. I was so young. I was probably 4 or 5. But he turned heel, and dude, it fucking destroyed me, man. Like, I bawled my eyes out for like 3 hours.
So wait a minute. So when you watched wrestling, the first memory you have is when Flair was a babyface.
He wasn't necessarily babyface, but what he did in this particular, like, he had been with someone, and there had been several situations where they had helped each other out. I really am struggling to remember.
And he turned on him.
Yeah, and he just flat out turned on him, and it was one of those really good turns, like out of nowhere, and floored the shit out of the guy, and it was like, no, no, you know what I mean? Like, when you're like, oh my, what? No, like when you get so upset when something happens and it's so left, like instead of the right turn that you were looking for from like your wrestler, and like it fucked me up, dude. But that's probably one of the earliest memories I have. And right around in that same time, is in terms of like live shows, is, dude, man, I used to go to AWA wrestling shows with my folks, and I loved like Jimmy Garvin, and like it was the Fabulous Freebirds, man, and they had a female manager named Precious, and like I just thought she was like the most beautiful thing in the world. I mean, I'm a little kid, man, I don't know shit. Like, my dad still toted me, you know, in his arm. Like, I had to be, there was no way I was more than 4, and so all I wanted to do was get up there and get a close look at the Freebirds. We were like up in the nosebleeds. And so I was like, I want to see the Freebirds. And they took me down there, and I managed to pat Jimmy Garvin on the shoulder, and Precious turned, and like, she gave me a little wink, dude, you know, cause I mean, they do that shit. You're a little kid. And so it was, I mean, I used to tell people that she was my girlfriend. And like, this is like some of my earliest like memories. And I remember probably my favorite one is when I was sharing that memory with you the other day. And the one I have the Polaroids of, my mother was the biggest Magnum TA fan. And, you know, he used to partner with Dusty Rhodes a lot in AWA. And so those Polaroids are from a match where they were tagging together. And so I have a picture of them coming down the stairs, and it's Dusty Rhodes, which is a really good picture, I think, for it to be a Polaroid from the 80s. And you can see Magnum a little behind him coming down. And the other Polaroid is Magnum when he's busted open and he's leaving the ring. And so I still have that stuff. And, like, I've got this old bandana from Magnum TA and, like, a pin button that my mom had. And, man, I have some cool, you know, young memories. Like, I told you how I met the Nasty Boys at Farm Aid 96. And they were working security just in chill mode, drinking beers. It was the coolest shit ever. So, but, yeah, man, I grew up watching wrestling. And there have been several times over the years I fell out of love with it and back in love with it. And here lately, I will admit that you have been a little of the motivation, because sometimes you share things that are exciting, and it makes me want to go and look back at that stuff again. And so here lately, I've been watching a little bit, and there's some things that I see that I really like, and there's some things that I see that I don't like. And I mean, that's going to be any wrestling fan. But you got to admit, I mean, I'm in my 30s now. And there, think about how much wrestling I've been exposed to over the years. So I have so much to, like, vastly compare what I'm looking at now to what I used to see, you know?
Now, you were big in the Attitude Era, just like every wrestling fan was. When did you get out?
You know,
because I got out around college, which for me was like early 2000s. So that's like 2004, 2005, the end of the Attitude Era. I just kind of dipped out, you know, for whatever the reason, I just stopped watching hardcore. And the story goes for me, I didn't start watching again hardcore until like 3 years ago when I heard Sting was coming back. So when did you like leave wrestling? Cause you were big into it during the Attitude Era, late 90s.
I'll do like, I was so big into it in the Attitude Era in the 90s, like when I was in high school, like, cause, my first couple years in high school would have been, 97, 98, 98, 99, you know, 99, 2000. And that's right in the heat of, like, when wrestling is very much changing and the Monday Night Wars, the Attitude Era, you know. I mean, that was, like, a hot time to be a wrestling fan, you know. From the time I was a youngster watching with my grandma, I watched on up to probably a few years before the Attitude Era. Like, WCW had probably – I don't even think the first Nitro had aired yet when I quit watching, like, methodically. And I would always return, like, every several weeks just to kind of see what was going on, see if anybody knew had shown up. Because that was one thing, even when I was younger, one of the things I even thought was cool was anytime you saw somebody show up new that really kind of caught your eye to begin with, it was cool to watch someone grow, because when they get that title shot and they have that accolade, you can be like, man, I remember I was a kid. I saw that guy's first match. I mean, just being a wrestling fan, I mean, that's cool shit to see, man, to watch a wrestler grow. It's almost like, you know, being a fan of any kind of TV show, but with wrestling, it's like it never fucking ends, man. It's every week forever.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah,
that's one of the greatest draws of it, I think. But probably up around that time, I quit watching like on a weekly basis, and I would check back in. And I remember right around the time the Monday Night Wars started was when I had actually started watching again, pretty hardcore. And once I saw all this, hey, man, what's going on right now? You know, like, you were on this show a couple weeks ago, and now you're here, and you're talking shit about them, and you're not Razor anymore. You're fucking Scott Hall, and that ain't fucking Diesel anymore. It's Kevin Nash, you know, and all kind of shit like that.
The great line from Scott Hall when he showed up at Nitro.
You know who
I am, but you don't know why I'm here. Best line ever. God, that's so good. God, that's so good. So we got into a discussion over the weekend where...
Yeah. Real quick, though. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trail off. I do that too much. But from there, probably all the way through the Monday Night Wars, I probably staggered away from WCW sometime in early 2000, because I left while the Wolfpack Red and White were still battling close to the end. It was getting ridiculous. Like, everyone on fucking Nitro was in the NWO. Like, there was no regular WCW people anymore.
No.
Fucking. And, I mean, you could kind of see that it was losing its attraction. And then as far as, like, WWF, as far as that went, I probably trailed off probably around the same time. I probably watched it for several weeks after I quit paying attention to WCW. And then when I came back and got hardcore again was probably around shortly after WrestleMania 19. And I was stuck on it because I that I'm a Chris Benoit fan. And so I very much followed his rise to WrestleMania 20, which is probably one of my favorite WrestleManias, to be honest with you.
WrestleMania 20 was one of your favorites?
Yeah, probably so. Just because a lot of it had to do with Benoit finally getting that belt. Because when he won that shit in WCW, that was a fucking farce, man. He had that shit for like a day.
Wasn't that the WrestleMania where you had this oddly placed tag match with like Rock and Foley against Flair and Batista? Is that right? I think that happened. I think.
I guess it's probably more fair to say that WrestleMania 20 had one of my favorite moments. How about that?
Okay, that's fair enough.
Because you remember I've told you in the last 10 years or so, I just WrestleMania. See, you just made that comment. Didn't it have that off tag match? You just made a negative comment about a WrestleMania.
But it's not a negative comment. Like, you have The Rock. Nothing's negative with The Rock.
But you called it an off match, man. You just said it was an off tag. Like
the match didn't make sense. It didn't make sense.
If it didn't happen, you wouldn't have cried.
If it didn't happen, you wouldn't
fuck cry. You, Eddie Miles. I hate him. No, just kidding. but that was one of my favorite moments, man, because that guy at the time, you know, ignoring the future and everything that goes down in real life. I mean, at the time, that guy more than deserved that, you know? So that was probably one of my favorite WrestleMania moments when Chris Benoit got to win the first real heavyweight championship in a legit, you know, company. You know what I'm saying?
What's your favorite match all time?
Oh, man, that's such a fucking hard question.
Hold on. Everyone's got one. Or you can give me two or three. I don't care. But matches that you can go back and watch over and over again. I'll give you a couple examples while you think about it. For me, it's WrestleMania 12, Iron Man match, Shawn and Bret. I also go back to SummerSlam 91, I believe it is, Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, Intercontinental Championship.
I'll go WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart and Stone Cold is somewhere in my top 10 for sure.
Okay.
I'll speak in terms of in my I can't say I can number it, but I'll just call shit in my top 10. Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell.
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
Kane, like the first appearance of Kane.
Yes.
Like that's probably one of my favorites.
That still might be one of my favorite Hell in a Cell matches too, by the way. It was the very first one.
Yeah. I could have noted that. But yeah, that was, and the thing is, man, it's like that with a lot of matches. Not everything, obviously, but sometimes, man, when you have a match like that, it's hard. It's hard to overdo what you do the first time you create a spectacle like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Shawn took that dive and hit that table. And at the time, man, when had you ever seen somebody hit an announce table from that high?
Nobody.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he paid for that shit the rest of his career, but damn it if he didn't put on a show, man.
Mm-hmm.
The Undertaker and Mankind Hell in a Cell was a good one, too. If nothing else, just for the brutality.
Unfortunately, it's the only Mankind match that I liked just because I think Mankind is a kind of glorified stuntman rather than a professional wrestler. And it was for the beating that he took in that match. But gosh, I think about that match and I just cringe. The bumps he took in that match.
It's something, dude, man.
I mean, we remember the throw off the cage off the top of the cell. But yeah. The one that sticks in my mind is when Taker chokeslammed him through the cell.
And he landed on the tacks. When his tooth went through his nose,
right.
Bro.
Not just that, but a chair. Remember, a chair fell on his face.
Oh, yeah.
As he hit the ring. Gosh, that's such
I forgot about that.
Gruesome visual. Any other matches that you can remember?
Man, I'm thinking, dude.
Have you seen Undertaker Shawn, any of those?
What now?
The Undertaker Shawn matches during WrestleMania. Have you seen any of those?
Yes, the one where Shawn tried to beat the streak.
Yeah, 25 and 26.
That was a fucking amazing match, dude.
I think it was 25 and 26. They went back to back.
I think I missed one of those. I don't think I saw both of them. I think I saw the first one.
One a lot of people likes, which I still haven't gone back and watched the whole thing, is Undertaker and Hunter, Hell in a Cell. I think it's WrestleMania 27 or 28 in Atlanta.
Speaking of Hunter, man, my favorite Raw moment was the first time he returned from that torn quad. Not the second.
Yeah.
But that first time, because when he came, dude, that he was so jacked, dude.
He got a pop,
that
too.
Fucking place exploded, dude.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest pop I've ever heard. I don't care what you say.
Who's in your top three?
That shit was crazy.
Top three wrestlers.
My top three wrestlers?
Yeah. All time.
Probably say Ric Flair.
Okay.
Stone Cold, Triple H, probably.
Wow. No Shawn or Brett, huh? Man.
It's just Shawn's probably number four, to be honest.
Yeah.
And really, he probably floats in and out with Triple H because it's like a generation kind of thing, because they carried the company at two totally different times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they both did a wonderful job at it. And Shawn, and they're just two different people. Like, Triple H could never play a role like Shawn, because he's not as, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
he's big. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He can't jump around like Shawn.
Yeah, and just Shawn can't be as imposing as he can.
And Shawn was a little more charismatic, too.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. When we talk about the current product, because I watch it every week, but when you watch it, is it hard for you to stay locked in and watch it? Is that hard for you
to
do?
It is. It is. It's a challenge.
Yeah. What turns you off when you watch it now?
Sometimes I'm very happy that they've taken some of the things away. Like, I was really tired of seeing people get whacked in the head with a chair. But after all of everything that's come out about injuries and the shit it can cause, it's kind of, I'm glad they're trying to take better care of these guys, because how many awesome superstars burn out because they gave too much too soon before it was regulated to not burn your fucking body up in a matter of years? Think about the wrestlers we would still have if there's a little bit more, just, you know what I mean, before now. But the thing that's negative about that, some of the ways they're trying to make up for the spectacle they can't put on anymore, it's, I don't know, it just seems kind of crappy to me. Like, I like the New Day gimmick, but the Bootios thing is getting played out. Like, it's starting to be stupid.
I still love the New Day.
I wanted to bring up, you remember I was talking to you about the Cruiserweight shit, and I said that guy named Daivari, and you're like, I don't remember that guy. Dude, he wrestled on Monday Night Raw this week against the champ, the Cruiserweight champ.
That was
Daivari.
Here's a confession I have to make. I fast forward right through the Cruiserweight stuff. I don't care about it. I'm not invested. I wasn't big in the Cruiserweight division on Nitro. I mean, yeah, like Malenko and Jericho and Guerrero, but I fast forward right through the Cruiserweight stuff. Like, I'm not invested in it whatsoever. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm very impatient.
I like the change in dynamic, because there are times I want to see more Jeff Hardy style wrestling.
Sure,
like up in the air, twist and turn. You know what I mean? Those guys need to get their shit together and come back home.
That's the rumor, that Jeff and Matt are coming back, the Hardy Boys.
They're the fucking TNA tag champs right now. Whoopity-doo. That fucking, I don't know if you look at that stuff at all, dude. I watched the Great War recently between fucking, what the hell is that group's name? It was the Hardys versus Decay. Yeah, they're Decay.
I couldn't tell you. I don't watch that garbage.
But anyway, the guys can still wrestle, but this match was like a fucking train wreck, dude. Like, Jeff Hardy has this thing where he, like, changes into a different person. And part of the fucking match was, like, filmed ahead of time. So, like, they disappear in the backstage, and, like, you can tell that this is, like, the day before or earlier, they're, like, beating the shit out of each other outside. Like, there's even a part where they're in a truck, and the truck is driving, and they're beating the shit out of each other in a truck bed going down this road. And I'm just kind of like, are you fucking serious right now? And just, come on, man, I don't know what's going on, but somebody needs to, like Vince just needs to buy that company so he can take what good talent is there and add, because we need to fill out the rosters a little bit.
He's already bought the TNA video library. He's bought that. Now, whether they're buying TNA as a whole, I don't know, but he's bought the video library. And I assume the company would be next. So, I don't know, but
I mean, he should, man. I mean, there are some decent folks over there, dude. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Bobby Lashley come back. I mean, just to have another big guy, you know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of those right now, and it gets boring seeing the same two large fuckers beat on each other.
Speaking
like,
of,
like, mix it up a little bit. I'm just saying depth. I'm not saying that he's gonna add charisma to the fucking, you know, like the promos and the shit that goes down between matches, but the dude is athletic as fuck, and he would add some depth to the roster.
Speaking of large efforts, Brock Lesnar. I think you're a fan of his, right?
I am a fan of Brock Lesnar. I'm a fan of Brock Lesnar, the person, not just the wrestler.
Brock Lesnar, Goldberg. Thoughts? Because it's happening. It is happening.
I really hope that these two motherfuckers walk in and are dedicated to putting all the skill they have in and their fucking egos out. Because if they can do that, if they can pony up and put their grown man on for 15 minutes and deliver a really stellar match from two large, excellent athletic individuals, I think it would be very fun to watch.
I don't think it's possible.
If we get another circle jerk like they did at WrestleMania,
circle jerk,
I'm going to be upset, man, because like I'm a Goldberg fan too. Like, Goldberg was I was there for that. That was awesome to me. And I mean, once again, he's a large guy, but you can put him on TV. Like, you can watch the shit that he does. People want to see him.
It's an attraction. I just don't know how good of a match they can put on, because if you look at Goldberg's entire career, he doesn't have a five-star match. He doesn't have a match that tells a story. His greatest match, I still maintain this, his greatest match was not against DDP, was not against Hunter, it was not against Sting, it was against Hogan in Atlanta, the Georgia Dome, his hometown, where he comes back and they unify the United States title and the world title, and Hogan put him over like a sumbitch. It's the greatest job of putting somebody over. Hulk Hogan put over Macho. He put over Ultimate Warrior.
I absolutely agree with you on that.
Go back and watch that match. Hogan is amazing in that
they
match.
They didn't unify the title. Like, he was, at the moment,
did he just
was,
win both?
Yeah, at the moment, he was both the world heavyweight and the U.S. champ. But when the next Nitro aired, they started off by announcing that he dropped the U.S. title and that there would be a tournament for it.
Okay, there you go. Well,
and then they did like a little week-to-week thing until the next pay-per-view, and they crowned another U.S. champ. I believe that's how it went down. But
go and watch that match.
That is the way that... Oh, it's brilliant. Watched it. Dude, I watched that shit like a week or two ago. I mean, and I agree with you. That is probably his best match. But once again, I wasn't arguing that the guy is a great in-ring technician. That'll never be the case.
No.
But he is an attraction, and he's entertaining.
I just wonder how much you get out of him. I wonder how much you get out of him, because Brock Lesnar does not tell a story of being a technician. Brock Lesnar tells a story of beating somebody down. Like, listen, I maintain that Brock Lesnar is doing amazing stuff the last 2 years. I thought the match with Randy Orton in the last pay-per-view was great. I thought Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns goes down as one of my top five WrestleMania matches. Top five WrestleMania match.
They make it work by it not being a one and done. If it's a flash in the pan, it'll seem like a waste of time, and it'll turn people off from Brock's current stint, and it'll also turn people off from the nostalgia you get from a Goldberg. There needs to be some jibber jabber. There needs to be a couple of jump ins when one ain't paying attention. There needs to be a couple promos cut. They need to hit a pay per view. They need to bust each other's ass a couple more times after that, and then wrestle again at another pay per view, and then move on from there.
The problem now, you have is that you don't know how much time you get with Brock and Goldberg, because they're set for limited dates, and you might get them once every three months.
That's where I'm going with that. Regardless of what's going to happen with Lesnar next, he goes on and does that. When Goldberg fills this, you know, this whole storyline, then he's on his Legends deal. You know what I'm saying? That's the way they should play that out. They should utilize them for a run that's going to make sense. Because if it's like, I'm going to kick your ass, and then one dude wins and it's over, Like, no, because if they really fucking hated each other that much, the dude that loses wouldn't be able to accept it that easy. And that would be too fucking stupid, and that would be a waste of my time after the fucking, like I said, the circle jerk they had at WrestleMania. We were promised two beasts beasting on each other, and all they did, it looked like they were fucking running a mayonnaise slip and slide. That's what that match looked like.
A mayonnaise slip and slide.
I mean, you could tell Stone Cold was even uninterested.
Yeah, yeah. In that WrestleMania 20 match, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, even if he wasn't supposed to stun Goldberg, I feel like he would have did the shit anyway.
Okay, so when you watch wrestling now, who jumps out to you? Who do you like?
Dude, I love Finn Balor, and I'm so upset that that kid is injured. That kid's got talent. I'll go ahead and I'll run a few down for you. That guy, and this is all going to be based on they have talent. They're attractive in terms of their gimmick and their ring presence. They can keep a crowd. You'll want to see them when you're watching the program. I'll throw it out to Finn Balor. Dude, somebody that I really like on the villain side is Bray Wyatt. That dude is entertaining as shit. You agree?
He's entertaining. I'm beginning to question his wrestling ability because that match between him and Orton on the pay-per-view was a stinker.
I kind of blew through that.
I'm kind of questioning his in-ring ability, but as a promo, as an entertainer, yes, he's got it. He just needs more work in-ring.
He definitely excels at heading a faction. You know what I'm saying? Kind of being what he's been the last couple of years has definitely worked for him. And if anything, that's carried his part in the feuds. But in terms of on the up and up, you know, he's been around for X amount of years, but I think that guy's entertaining. I think that he's one of those cats that belongs on TV, and the things that they're doing with him work, and they need to keep doing it.
Who else do you like?
Let's see. I like Neville.
Neville.
That kid, I think he's got a lot of skill. He's got a lot of high flying ability. That brings the variety in. What's funny about that is his finishing move is pretty crazy. Wouldn't you agree?
The red arrow. Yeah.
Now that just goes to show you how much the WWE hated Juventud Guerrero.
Now, why would you say that?
Because in WCW, Juventud used to talk a lot of shit about The Rock. And he used to say, I'm just as good, I'm just as big of an attraction as The Rock is. And everybody's like, yeah, what the fuck, everybody. He carried that with him over to WWE, right? So it got so much to where they irritated. They said, don't do your 450 splash anymore. It's too dangerous. Don't do it. If that's dangerous, Neville's move is most certainly fucking dangerous.
Oh, yeah, that is really dangerous, that red arrow.
So Juventud does it anyway and, like, knees the shit out of this guy in the face, and they decide to fire Juventud Guerrero over a 450 splash. So if Neville can do it every time he wrestles and get away with it, that just goes to show you they really didn't give a fuck about Juventud and his attitude towards The Rock.
Okay, so you watched a little bit of the pay-per-view. I told you to watch the match between Ziggler and The Miz without seeing a lot of the build. What did you think of it? I think it was one of the best IC title matches all time.
It made me feel like I was watching wrestling when I was younger again.
Ooh.
It most certainly did. Like, the build-up to it was good. You know, in terms of promos and story arcs and the way people dig at each other, I really thought it was cool how Ziggler was like, give me one more chance. Just one more. You know what I mean? It was like, it gave the arc a little bit of depth to me. It gave it a little bit more do or die, you know, and that was always fun. You know, anything that adds an extra layer of do or die to you have to win and win big or go home, it always makes it more entertaining. And I have to say, man, knowing that The Miz and the way he came up and the shitty independent wrestling that he used to do, and he really fought his way to get to where he is. It's good to see that he's got a lot of talent, man, and he spent his time in the business well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a brilliantly told story in the ring. I thought the promos were great leading up to it, and Ziggler with the well-deserved win. Other than that, the pay-per-view was forgettable. And then we go to Raw on Monday. Nothing really big happened other than Paul Heyman calling out Goldberg. I don't love the Kevin Owens Seth Rollins thing. I don't know who I'm supposed to pull for. I know Kevin Owens is the heel.
I'm pulling for Seth Rollins.
Okay. I think I'm supposed to, but I don't know. Rollins is they're trying to turn him into like the Steve Austin badass. That's what they're trying to do.
No, I mean I can see where they would try that, but his character, his demeanor, like his actions, his body language, everything that he does would paint him more as, instead of calling him an anti-hero, we would call him the anti-face. You know what I mean? Like, he's a face, but he's really not worried about how you feel. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of like the Attitude Era babyface. Yeah.
He's one of the guys that I really like, you know, to add to my list. You know, I was trying to give you some of the newer fellows that have come out in the past year or two or just made their way over from NXT. I love AJ Styles. Absolutely love the Phenomenal One.
Yeah.
I watched him when I actually did follow TNA for a short period of time. There was a little window there where I felt like TNA really was going to be the new WCW and gain a lot of fans and work. Cause there was a time where they were doing some really good matches. It was all about the matches again, dude. You know, it's just not a whole lot of money and everything that's going on around, but good guys coming in, putting up good wrestling matches. That's gone to shit now too, though. So just whoever runs that stuff over there, man, they just can't run a good company. And I'm sorry that, you know, that's their boggle.
That's their boggle. All right. Last thing. This is something that annoyed the piss out of me. We had a discussion about WrestleMania, and you said WrestleMania is not what it used to be, and that there are matches on the card that shouldn't be there, and you need to explain yourself, sir, because I feel myself getting angry again, because WrestleMania is still the show of shows, the showcase of immortals.
And that's where you got a little, like, you got a little overexcited too soon, because I feel like you interpreted that as me going, WrestleMania is shit. And that's not what I said. WrestleMania very much is still the spectacle. It is still a spectacle. It is still the show to watch every year when it comes to pro wrestling. But just in the past several years, and it's so hard to pinpoint some of the moments because I've come in and out, like I've told you. But every now and again, like, I'll just see something and I'm kind of like, this should have been like a segment in between matches, or this should have been just like a, you know, like whenever there was the celebrity guest, like I like the celebrity guest that knows how to fucking wrestle. Like you heard me say it the other day. Like I really didn't feel like Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather should have been like a match. Like it should have been something off to the side, like a fucking arm wrestling match or
that's where
something
we disagree.
Stupid like that, man.
That's where we disagree. At WrestleMania, you have matches like that. You have Floyd Mayweather go against Big Show. Things you would never see on anything ever.
But you would do it on WrestleMania.
But
make it a good thing like that, though. Like, I just don't see why. It's like, oh, look at tiny little Floyd Mayweather and big-ass Big Show. And I get the David and Goliath thing, man, but that was just not attractive to me, man. It wasn't. I was like, this is a waste of a portion of the money that I spent to watch WrestleMania.
But you said Bam Bam versus LT was a better draw, which I disagree. But
I said it was better to watch because he actually wrestled him.
But it's not a better draw. It's not a better draw.
I would rather watch that.
There's a difference between a better match and a better draw. Big difference.
But I didn't call it a better draw. I said I would prefer to watch that.
Well, you're trying to get people to put your eyeballs on your product. Whether it's good or not is up to the performers.
But here's the thing. You're getting lost from the purpose of this conversation. Like, I am not trying to sell the product. What I'm doing is I'm giving you my opinion as a fan sitting in a seat.
You're like the only person that enjoyed Bam Bam versus LT. I hope you know that. That match sucks.
I didn't tell you that I enjoyed. There and again, you're overinterpreting what I'm saying. At no point did I say, dude, I was so happy when fucking Bam Bam and LT went at it at WrestleMania. I was literally trying to insult the Big Show and Floyd Mayweather match that much. That was the purpose of me saying that. Like, if they were like, hey, at this portion of WrestleMania, we'll sub in any ridiculous match instead of the one that you don't want to watch, I'd have been like, fuck it, let's watch Bam Bam versus LT.
I mean, listen, I don't watch...
My point in saying that, I'm sorry, is that I would rather watch them wrestle than if it's going to be in the ring, I want to see them wrestle is what I'm saying. And I don't understand why that bothers you so much. Like, let them have a boxing match, like a segment off to the side at another location. Like, let's splash over to this ring where they're ready to box. You know what I'm saying? Almost like when you remember the Lion's Den match.
Yes. Oh God. Like, see, yes.
Like they made that a side spectacle. Like it was something different. Like, spit it over there. I mean, maybe I'm being a little too picky, but you I think you're going to wrestle in the squared circle.
Was it Shamrock and Owen Hart? And then you had Shamrock against Steve Blackman, I think.
I remember. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like I said, man, they did a totally, you know, off to the side thing for that. And I thought that was a great way to handle that kind of. And even if that would have happened in the ring, it would have been okay because they were still wrestling.
If you see Ronda Rousey get in a wrestling ring, which will happen eventually, do you want to see her wrestle?
Yeah, I would like to see her like in let's say her and The Rock tag against somebody, like tag her in. I want to see her lock up with somebody, do a fucking snapmare takeover, an elbow drop, a leg drop, fucking whip a bitch into the turnbuckle, wrestle. You know what I mean?
Whip like, a bitch into a turnbuckle.
Because she could do it, and she would do it because she's a wrestling fan and she wants to.
It's kind of like your boy Stephen Amell a couple years ago at SummerSlam from Arrow. He got in the ring and did like an arm bar. And
he did a really good job, though,
man. I thought
man.
He was all right. He did okay. Yeah.
Everybody was so hyped to see him hop the guardrail and jump in the ring, man, and get in the mix.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
Cody Rhodes is going to be on this season of Arrow, by the way.
Is he really?
Yeah, they brought him into the Arrowverse. He's going to be a villain.
Good for him. Good for him.
I watched his TNA debut.
Well, a little too late because it doesn't look like TNA is going to last much longer, and that's unfortunate because his wife apparently is a wrestler. I didn't know that. His wife.
Yeah, see, she was in the company.
As a ring announcer, yeah.
Yeah, she left because he left. And so now she's going to be a wrestler over there. Like, his entrance was, like, so fucking lackluster, dude. Like, they were video promoing, like, him, like, coming to TNA and shit. And he's just going by Cody. Yep. And, like,
yep.
I just really think they're not going to do a good job for him, man. Like,
he apparently can't use Rhodes. He's not allowed to use it. I saw a podcast, or listen, Saul, dummy.
That's sad that you can't use your own fucking name.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast where he said he can't use the Rhodes name yet. He's trying to buy that from WWE. That's terrible. That's really sad.
Yeah, happy birthday, Dusty. None of his sperm could wrestle as good
as him. 71st birthday. Rest in peace, Dusty Rhodes today.
Yeah, but I mean, God, dude, you mean maybe like if Dustin and Cody could like figure out how to like fuse. Maybe they would make a good wrestler.
I always wanted to see Cody and Goldust wrestle at WrestleMania. Never happened. That, for whatever the reason, never.
Stardust versus Goldust.
It would have been nice. Would have been nice.
I figured that's what was going to come of that, but.
What do you think of Nakamura?
The NXT champ.
Yes.
That dude's pretty crazy, man. Like
that's my guy.
He's fun to watch.
That's my guy.
He's fun to watch.
I can't wait till he makes it to the big time. I cannot wait.
I wish Samoa Joe looked like he did 5 years ago right now. Because that dude can do some sick fucking moves as big as he is. The last couple of times I've seen him, man, it looks like he's starting to like get stuck in the mud a little bit.
You know, I haven't, I haven't really noticed that. Is he bigger?
I mean, he seems like he might be toting a couple more pounds. Does he still do that badass fucking move he did? Where like he, like, what's that shit called?
Oh, gosh. He actually.
Something bomb or something? That's a badass.
You talking about where he picks them up off the turnbuckle and then just drops them on their neck?
Like, it's like their head, like, I think it's outlawed.
The muscle buster. I think it's the muscle buster.
But like, yeah, like their head was right here and they'd just be folded up and he.
Oh, yeah, he still does that. That's his move. Yeah, that's his move.
Okay, cool. Like, because I thought that shit was outlawed because of the concussion shit.
Well, he did it to Tyson Kidd, and Kidd might not ever come back, unfortunately. That might end his career.
Well, damn, but that's a sick move, dude. That's a sick move.
Okay.
What's your favorite finisher?
Whoa. All time?
No, I tell you what. I'll make it easier. Just throw out some of your favorite finishers.
Sharpshooter. Sweet Chin Music, because I like the finishers that can happen at any time.
I love the super kick. Love the super kick.
The super kick is overused now. They do everybody has a super kick, for God's sakes. This one's going a little deep because he doesn't do it anymore. But the God, what did he call it? There's the Lion Tamer, and then what did he call the one where he put them on their head? Jericho.
Are you talking about the Walls of Jericho?
Well, there's the Walls of Jericho, which is the Boston Crab.
Well, the Walls of Jericho didn't used to be a Boston Crab.
Where he bent their back and put them on their head.
Yeah, like their head would be like sideways, like they would be on like the side of their head and like their shoulder.
I love that move.
And like they would be straight up, like that shit was dope.
I love that move.
It turned into a Boston Crab over the years, and that's stupid.
Probably my favorite finisher, the most believable finisher, other than any submission move, the Tombstone.
Yeah, that would fuck anybody up.
That would fuck anybody up. Yes, it would.
I like the. I don't want to call it a spectacle. I mean, I like the F5 in the sense of the way you manhandle somebody.
Yeah,
like the idea of it. Like it adds to the. You have superhuman strength because of the way you could lift this man up like a sack of feathers.
I like the old pedigree. That shit
broke my neck just looking at it.
Instead of just dropping you, he would actually use the arms to pedigree you on your head.
Yeah, like, and your body would drive in at an angle. Yep. Like, he fucked somebody's neck up like that. That dude don't wrestle no more. I can't remember his name.
Yep.
But, like, you can find it, and it's horrible. You can see that guy's shit crunch up, man.
I never liked the stunner because it was all about how you sold it.
The diamond cutter was stupid because it was just.
I mean, you don't like the RKO? It's the same thing. I like the RKO.
It's kind of like the super kick. It's just a chin buster. It's an oversold chin buster.
Razor's Edge. I always love the Razor's Edge.
The Razor's Edge is unique, and that's why I like the Razor's Edge.
Always love the Razor's Edge.
Power bomb is just a power bomb. Do you remember Matt Morgan?
Vaguely. Was that the blueprint from TNA?
He was Matt Morgan in WWE, and he left and went to TNA, and they gave him a chance to be the big beast that he is. He had this fucking move called the Hellevator. That shit is dope. It's like you bring him up like you're about to do a suplex, right? But then you let them fall back down like this straight, and they swing into like a rock bottom.
Huh.
And it's fucking dope, dude. It's just really cool to watch.
A lot of people like the rock bottom.
I love the rock bottom, dude.
Rock bottom works.
It's just one of those ones. I mean, it gives you a oof when you look at it. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of finisher. And it's one of those ones that can kind of happen at any time. He doesn't always have to set it up.
Let me think of some other finishers. I like this. That's a good question. Because there's some deep finishers you don't see that often.
Do you remember Conan's 187?
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
The spear is overused.
It's too plain anyway. Yeah. I mean, Edge probably did it the best.
I disagree. I still think to this day Goldberg does it the best, but the bottom line is he did it the best because he actually speared the hell out of you.
Yeah, he did.
I always like the crippler crossface.
That should go without saying for you because, dude, the flying headbutt always set up the fucking crippler crossface, bro. That move, it hurt, bro. Like, have you ever been put in the fucking crossface?
Oh, yeah. I put my brother into it many times.
That shit don't feel. You know, I said, have you ever been put in that motherfucker?
The sharpshooter was better than the scorpion deathlock. True wrestling fans know why. I'm trying to think of some other finishers. This is a good game. You know what? What looks like a devastating finisher? What was Christian's little finisher? The
Unprettier. That's what I was about to say.
Oh, my God.
The Unprettier.
Where he hooks your arms and just drops you?
Yeah, like what he did was he would grab you, twist around to where your head was like, the back of your head was against his back facing down.
The only finisher off the top rope that I liked that was believable was RVD's five-star frog splash, because he always landed on the dude. Like, he landed straight on you with everything that he had, all of his weight. I tell you another one that was believable, and as a kid, he scared the hell out of me, was Sika, Yokozuna, the bonsai drop.
Yeah, that shit was scary when you were a kid. I like...
because when he sits on you, you're not kicking out of that. Nobody kicked out of that.
I like the Swanton, and I like the Shooting Star Press.
Shooting Star, Billy Kidman. Yeah.
Yeah, that shit is sick.
And then how can you go against Jake the Snake, the DDT? How can you go against that? Come on. And then Raven had the Even Flow DDT.
Because he was a Pearl Jam fan.
That was a good variation.
And then Edge adopted that shit later. It was like a super DDT where you like came up off your feet. Remember, he would grab you by the belt and pull you. Boom.
They called it the Impaler. Do you know where he got that move?
Yeah, the Impaler DDT.
Wrestling trivia. Do you know where he got that move?
Where?
Who did the Impaler before Edge?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
He came in with Edge. Same group.
Oh, Gangrel.
Yeah, that was his move. That was his finisher.
That dude disappeared into obscurity.
He's still wrestling.
Then he started doing, then he did porn, and then he did, like, wrestling porn.
Yeah.
And now he just does wrestling. But now he's all fat and ridiculous looking. Like, and he's still got the same gimmick.
Yes.
Like, he can't be anybody but Gangrel because those teeth are implants.
He's still a vampire.
He's always going to be a vampire.
Gosh, I love just talking about finishers. This
it's
is
like
great.
7:30 in the morning. What you doing, vampire?
If done right.
6:50 at night. What you doing?
If done right, I like the perfect plex. If done right.
Yeah, that shit looks nice when it's done right.
I'm trying to think of any finishers in the 80s. Oh, the Doomsday Device. Legion of Doom.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
That's a good one.
What about,
I think we've gone.
Do you remember, I think his name was Chaos or something? Like, do you remember the fucking Meltdown?
Yes, I do. Was that the Pump Handle Slam?
Yeah, the Pump Handle Slam.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, dude. That move was nasty. And that dude did it good. Kent, I think that's what his name was. Oh, man. This is great. The 3D is fun if they do it in a good environment.
I think we've named them all. I think that's all the cool finishers.
Now, there's still some more obscure ones that we're forgetting.
Probably. I never really liked the Angle Slam. I never liked that.
No, it was just one of those, it was like for what it was kind of thing. You know?
I hate the AA. That's just a dumb fireman suplex. Or a fireman's carry, I should say.
Mm.
I like Bray Wyatt's Sister Abigail.
Yes.
I think that's a great
finisher.
Yes,
that's what I was trying to think of. That twist, man, it just looks fucked up, don't it? It looks like it would hurt you if it were real.
Mm-hmm. I've learned to love Ziggler's zigzag. I've learned to love that move. I used to hate it, but if he catches you at the right angle, like that.
You know who had a stupid move?
Who's
fucking Billy Gunn.
The Famouser? Famouser? Oh, no, I love the Famouser.
That's stupid.
No, I love the Famouser.
That move is stupid.
I like it. No, I like it.
Next you're going to tell me you love the Spinneroonie.
No. Nope, not going to get me to say that. Scorpion Death Drop. I'll always be partial to Sting. So
I Scorpion Death Dropped a kid on the basketball court one time. It was bad, dude. He didn't wake up for like 5 minutes. I felt so bad because I had his head cupped, and then he fought out of it in the middle of it. I was like, "What are you doing?" And it was bad.
The Terry Funk Pile Driver.
Yeah, because he would grab the seat of your pants like he was afraid to lose it or something.
Yep. Oh, how about the Rick Rude Neckbreaker?
Yeah.
Rude Awakening.
What made the Rude Awakening was the way he slow cranked it. It made it look like he was adding more pressure than a normal human being should be able to do.
I always liked Beautiful Disaster, Cody Rhodes' finisher. I always liked
that one. Damn, you made me lose it. We start talking about Cody Rhodes again.
I always like that one. I'm trying to think of the Luchadors finishers now. I mean, Eddie had the Frog Splash. Rey Mysterio,
he was good at it too, though.
Rey Mysterio, if you think about it, didn't really have a finisher until WWE when he did the 619.
That weird thing he used to do, like he would run and he would twist and like throw his legs around your waist. And he would like power backwards, throw his arm around your neck, and then he would flip his legs up and like bulldog you.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It was the most oversold, like, what the fuck are you doing right now kind of move I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh, I tell you what I love to do. On the video game, I used to get WCW NWO Revenge on N64, and I used to get Psychosis. The leg drop off the top rope. Vicious finisher. That's a great finisher.
I like Shawn Michaels' elbow drop.
Yeah. He did the elbow drop better than the Macho Man. Yeah.
The figure four will fuck you up if you sink it in right.
Yes, figure four hurts. That's legit.
Yeah, it will fuck you in. But if you turn over, it is not a reversal.
No, it's not.
It just hurts you even more.
The biggest myth in wrestling.
It hurts more when you turn the fuck over.
I think that's it. There's probably going to be like five more we're going to text each other after this is done recording.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we forgot to say
like
it.
You're talking about Psychosis, man. You remember that fucking spider leg shit he would do around the ropes? Like you'd lock your fucking arms and legs.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that shit was crazy. And then there was that move where like you'd be face down and they would put their feet in the back of your kneecaps and tuck your toes behind theirs, slap your sides to grab your wrists, and then roll backwards and cradle your ass in the air. That shit was punishment.
Wow. Man, we're going deep into the cruiserweight division now. La Parca, super crazy.
Damn. Do you remember, I think it was, was it fucking Survivor Series? Not Survivor Series, but it was a WCW pay-per-view. It was, shit. I can't remember which one it was, but it was the one Scott Hall had just come back. And this was the one where he had come back from being gone for a long time. And then he turned on Kevin Nash and joined NWO Black and White. But at that pay-per-view, there was a battle royal for the cruiserweight title. And it came down to La Parca and Jericho. And in the end, La Parca threw him out. And you're like, holy shit, La Parca just won the Cruiserweight Championship. And then he pulled off his mask and it was Dean Malenko.
No, that was not La Parca. It was, started with a C. It wasn't La Parca. It was not La Parca.
Yes,
no, it was not.
It was La Parca.
I'm going to fight you on this because I just watched it. Started with a C. It was not La Parca. DDP dressed as La Parca and beat the Macho Man Randy Savage on a Nitro. God. It was like Cyclops or Calypso or something. I promise you.
Yeah, it was La Parca.
I will bet you money, sir. It was not La Parca. Google it. Go ahead. Google
it.
I saw you brought your phone.
I'm telling you, man. I don't know what you're
going to Google. What are you going to Google? What are you going to Google? This is terrible.
Let me look for it.
It's dead air. Nobody wants to listen to this. It's dead air.
Well, let's keep talking.
You better Google quick, you son of a bitch.
Listen, it was fucking La Parca.
It was not La Parca.
It was totally La Parca.
Oh, the look on your face when it's not. I love this Skype because I can see the look on your face.
No,
when you're wrong.
Let's see.
What pay-per-view was that? Chris Jericho versus Dean Malenko. Slambury 98? I think it was Slambury 98. It was not La Parca. I will bet you money. Bet you money. Oh, yes. Oh, I got your ass. Woohoo, I got you. Crap. Yes, Ciclope. Ciclope won by eliminating Juventud Guerrero. Then Dean Malenko defeated Chris Jericho for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. Slambury 98. Suck on that. You still think I'm wrong, don't you?
That sounds like a totally different fucking
son. Stop checking your emails. Match. Slambury 98. Stop checking your emails. I got you.
Like, what did Cyclope wear? Like, what was his outfit?
I guess you could see how it looked like La Parka. It was orange. Just Google, put in YouTube. I mean, shit. Cyclope Slamboree 1998. I'm going to try to put this on YouTube. Oh, crap. This record's about to end. I got like 3 minutes.
Well, let's wrap it up, man. Let's wrap it up. I'm gonna look a little bit more into this because I'm looking at the thing, this KBS wrestling reviews that you're reading, and I believe that it is absolutely possible that what I'm going off of is Mike Tenay screaming in my head, La Parka! Like in
it's Cyclope.
We will reveal the outcome of this argument on the next Fanboys Assemble.
Next time.
Meanwhile,
at the Hall of Justice.
It's common courtesy.
All right, that'll do it for Fanboys Assemble. Good wrestling conversation. We didn't scream at each other. I thought I was going to get angry, but I didn't. Because I calmed myself down and we talked about the best things about wrestling, and that is finishers. That is storytelling. And that is great matches all time. So that was good stuff. I hope the old school wrestling fans enjoyed that and got a little nostalgic with a capital N. All right, that'll do it for Fanboys Assemble. Eddie Miles, I'm Dollar Cup. We bid you adieu. Good night.